It's Jesus' first day on the public stage. He's been out and about Capernaum. Word has gotten around about this guy and the amazing things he's been doing. But he's back in Nazareth, ready to begin his ministry, and has chosen his hometown crowd as his first audience. It all starts off very positively. He reads the scroll from Isaiah, gives a very short Mount Olivet style sermon, and they eat it up. They love it. This prophetic passage from Isaiah makes them feel like Jesus has returned home to save them, that he is going to bring good news to the poor in Galilee and release their local captives and heal all their ailments and diseases. The hometown celebrity is back, and they cannot wait for him to get to work. Unfortunately, Jesus kept talking. He must have missed speech and debate class, because he gets himself into some trouble. He reminds his home synagogue of two of their Jewish prophets. During a famine that lasted over 3 years, the prophet Elijah was sent to care, not for the Israelites, his people, but for a non-Jewish widow, an outsider. And then Elisha, who lived during a time of massive disease and illness, skipped out of town to go heal a non-Jewish man from another land, an untouchable foreigner. Now, these stories were familiar to the people listening. They were known to Jesus' audience, maybe even beloved. But Jesus was telling them about his ministry by sharing stories of prophets, taking God's healing and mercy to people out there, to places where God was not supposed to be, to outsiders. And that, as you heard Pastor Callan said, made them rage. As I've sat with this experience of the hometown crowd over these past couple of weeks, as I've tried to imagine this swing from amazement at Joseph's son to violent and uncontrollable rage, I kept coming back to one question. And for me, it might be the core question we're forced to ask ourselves as we encounter Jesus in Luke. Why does Jesus' mercy make us so angry? Why does Jesus' mercy make us rage? It's a striking question because it names a confusing response to a good thing, right? These prophets who take God to places where God is absent, who heal people who have been sick for a long time, this is good news. People are being healed. People are being cared for. Jesus, who preaches that he is fulfilling this prophecy of caring for the poor and healing the blind. This is really good news. People who are ignored are being seen. People are being freed of horrible ailments. People are being met with the love of God. And yet it seems that when this good news is spread far and wide, is shared with more people than just us, we see it as bad news. And it can make us angry. Because Jesus was supposed to be for us. Jesus was coming home to save us. We want Jesus' mercy for ourselves. We deserve it. We've earned it. He's our guy. We're the shareholders in this thing. We show up on Sunday mornings. Doesn't that mean that we're first in line? That we're the main priority? That we get a say in how Jesus shows his mercy and grace out in the world? No, Jesus says. Jesus' mercy is not just for us. We don't own it. And that makes us angry. We also get riled up because Jesus' mercy feels unfair. And it feels unfair because it is inherently unfair. The people Jesus talks about and is going to leave Nazareth to go find, the outsiders, the marginalized, the poor, the afflicted, they're the ones Jesus sees in need of God's mercy and love and forgiveness. People who don't deserve it and didn't earn it and don't believe what we think they should believe and aren't in the insider group and who we often think aren't good enough for it. Jesus' mercy is super unfair. And it makes us angry. This unfair mercy doesn't fit into our modern day world. Even more, it defies the world we live in. The world of getting what you earn and picking yourself up by your bootstraps and following the rules. The world where if you don't like something or if it challenges what you believe, you can just throw it away and send it off a cliff. Jesus doesn't abide or live by this worldview. And it makes us angry. I'm not going to lie. This is a really challenging passage. Jesus does not hold back in his first message to us. Your pastor really wrestled with this one. But the good news, there's good news here. The good news of Jesus' first sermon is that our anger doesn't win. We don't successfully throw Jesus off the cliff. Jesus somehow maneuvers his way out of the raging crowd, and in doing so, he shows us that his is a mercy we don't get to control, that nobody gets to control. It's a mercy that isn't just for one group of people, but for all people, even those far, far away from Nazareth or Mount Olivet. And friends, that is good news. It may feel like hard news at some time, but it's good news. In passing through the people and going on his way, Jesus shows us that he doesn't much care about being the famous hometown celebrity. He's not here to make us happy or give us all of his goodness and mercy. He is here to share love with reckless abandon, beyond borders, past differences, to people who desperately need it, to places that yearn for the love of God. That is good news, friends. Really, really good news. This mercy, Jesus' mercy, it might feel unfair and undeserved and uncontrollable because it is. It is all of those things. And in our fear of how Jesus might wield this mercy in the world, we have the freedom to respond in anger. We can try to cling to it tighter or hoard it all for ourselves. Or we can see it as an invitation to follow this merciful Jesus. Follow him into the despairing and broken and suffering world. Follow him to the outsider and unseen and untouchable. Follow him to the poor and oppressed and unwell. Follow him to the people who don't have a seat at our tables. Follow him to the people whose very lives depend on this unfair, undeserved, uncontrollable mercy. That's where Jesus is headed in the Gospel of Luke. And no matter how angry it makes us, that's where Jesus is headed today. To the people and places most in need of God's mercy. Amen.